The Winner Takes It All was allegedly about the split between band members Bjorn and Agnetha. And When All Is Said and Done, which is another ABBA hit, it's a bit loud. Can we just turn it down? Okay. Was another ABBA hit called... I've lost it all. Sorry? Well done. Well done, Katie. Oh, okay. Now, in 1989, there was a poll for Channel 5, and The Winner Takes It All was voted Britain's favourite ABBA song. And it was a feat repeated in 2010 for ITV. And in 2009, a Channel 5 programme, it was voted Britain's favourite breakup song. That's a bit sad, really, isn't it? Now, it's the sixth consecutive year that the number of divorces has fallen from a peak in 2003. And the average age for divorce has slightly increased for men and women in 2009. So if you're 43.9 years old, you're probably a man and you're likely to be divorced at that age, and for 41.5 for women. Now, strangely, despite an increase of the rules where you could get wed being liberalised, fewer people are getting married than at any time for more than 100 years. And since 1981, the marriages conducted every year has fallen by a third. And cohabiting couples without children are the fastest growing UK family type, according to official figures. So the song we listen to, Jim, is this working? Don't think so. And again, please. The song is of the troubles and joys in love and relationships. And songwriters, like ABBA, make a great deal of money out of doing it. If we can go back one, Jim, what we're going to read now is a story from the Bible which is about failed relationships. If you want to follow it, because it's not going to be on the screen, it's in the Church Bibles on page 875. And it's actually only three verses. So it's, 875. And it's in Hosea, which is the first of the minor prophets. So you're going to have fun and games finding that. Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. So it's Good News Bible, Hosea 3, in the Old Testament, verses 1 to 3, and should be on around page 875 in your Bibles. And this is how it reads. The Lord said to me, "Go again and show your love for a woman who is committing adultery with a lover. You must love her just as I still love the people of Israel, even though they turn to other gods and like to take offerings of raisins to idols." So I paid 15 pieces of silver and 150 kilograms of barley to buy her. I told her that for a long time she would have to wait for me without being a prostitute or committing adultery. And during this time, I would wait for her. So we're going to look at, for a few minutes this morning, the story of Hosea and Gomer. A terrible love story. Jim? And again, please. The first thing to say is that this is a story, not a song. It's a gritty, very painful story that was and is a symbol of God's heart in reaching out to a people at a critical time in their history. And if it were an episode of EastEnders, It will probably have to be after the 9 o'clock watershed. It was intended to be a living parable of God's revelation of what is still possible of love and restoration and grace to a society that was increasingly and rapidly falling away from all moral and ethical anchors. It could be a story for our times. Now, God often chose the lives of prophets to be a living symbol, just as in the coming of Jesus, who he was and what he did and how he did it, was to give a very clear picture of who God is with skin on. God's love is incarnational. It can be seen, touched, and responded to, and often ignored. So Isaiah, who lived at the same time and lived in Judah to the south, went around naked for 3 years. He was also barefoot. Now that was not because he was an early naturalist, but as a sign of what was going to happen to Egypt and Sudan when the emperor of Assyria will lead away the prisoners he captures, and that those who have put their trust in these African nations will be disillusioned, their hopes shattered. You can read about that in Isaiah 20. Or Ezekiel, who voluntarily became housebound and lay on his left and then on his right side for 390 days consecutively and lived on 230 grams of bread a day with 2 cups of water. And this was to demonstrate ahead of time the way that the Israelites will have to eat food when the siege came to Jerusalem if they didn't change course. The people will be distressed and anxious as they measure out the food they eat and water they drink, he wrote. They will run out of bread and water. They will despair and they will waste away because of their sins. Now, this was not a diet plan. It was a warning of inevitable disaster if the people did not change what they were doing and the road they were on. So we come to this story of Hosea. Jim? It's a story of sexual promiscuity, betrayal, and hurt. It is a sad story, but it offers rays of hope and kindness and mercy and grace after a wasted life and a life of self-harm, of the discovery of intimacy and union, purpose and new meaning, despite a terrible past, despite sexual damage, despite idol worship and a descent into slavery. Jim? Now, God asks Hosea to marry a streetwalker. Jim? A working prostitute called Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. Now, Gomer, unlike Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, is not a hooker with a heart. She is heartless. Driven by pleasure, money, and without any sense of shame, Gomer is totally focused on wealth and money and pleasure and sex and having a really good time. There are 3 children in the marriage. Only the first one is actually Hosea's. The other 2 are from unidentified fathers. The relationship was a complete disaster. As often the case, in such disordered and difficult households, it is the children who suffered. Just as in Isaiah, who named his son, not Trixie, but as a pointer of what God was saying to the nation. So in his case, he called his son Quick Loot, Fast Plunder, poor kid. The 3 children's names were a running commentary on what was happening in Israel. a son called Jezreel. That is the site of a brutal massacre 100 years earlier, where the entire royal family was mercilessly butchered by Nehu. A daughter called Unloved, and a second son called Not My People, or Nobody for short. Jim. So let's have a look at the biography of Tainted Love. Hosea had a long career as a prophet, around 40 years. He is unusual in that he was the one prophet who was born and bred in the north, where he continued to live. Many years previously, the Jews had divided after Solomon's death, and a disunited kingdom resulted. The bulk of the tribes lived in the north, called Israel, who had a capital, Samaria, and the remaining two tribes lived around Jerusalem, the ancient capital, in the south, called Judah. And there was a huge north-south divide. Israel was completely destroyed as a nation and ethnically cleansed in 722 BC by the Assyrian Empire. Hosea was there at the end. Through the prophet, God gave his people a last opportunity to repent before judgment. And Hosea's life illustrated what Israel's idolatry meant to God, but how he continued to reach out and long for a return to faith and commitment. Hosea illustrates this through bitter personal experience and how his own wife, Gomer, betrayed and deserted him. His message comes straight from the heart, and that is what makes this book unique. Israel was in a mess. Hosea's career started at the end of the reign of the last powerful and effective king, King Jeroboam II. And during the next 40 years, the country went rapidly downhill. Rejection of God and wholesale adoption of pagan practices brought about a moral and political collapse. So Israel had 6 kings in just over 20 years. 4 of them were assassinated by their successors. 1 was captured in battle. And 1 got to succession by the normal route, which is being born into the right family. Hosea's commentary on this is in chapter 10, verse 7. Her king will be carried off like a chip of wood on water. And in the second part of the book, which begins after our reading, Hosea lays out the failure of the people to acknowledge God, and indeed adopting the practices of the Canaanite fertility religion that was the key problem. But God's relationship was that of love, and that was what he intended. Israel, I will make you my wife. I will be true and faithful. I will show you constant love and mercy and make you mine forever. I will keep my promise and make you mine, and you will acknowledge me as Lord. I will show love to those who were called unloved. I will say, you are my people, and they will answer, you are my God. The intimacy of this covenant relationship is illustrated in the husband-wife relationship of Hosea and Gomer, and later to the father-child relationship. And Hosea refers to this in chapter 11 as a dad, as he speaks about God. And he writes, yet I was the one that taught Israel how to talk. I took my people in my arms, but they did not acknowledge me, that I took care of them. I drew them with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down and fed them. So Gomer abandons the family home. In chapter 2 we read, my children, plead with your mother, though she is no longer a wife to me, and I am no longer her husband. Plead with her to stop her adultery and prostitution. The reality had gone out of the relationship, but Hosea does not renounce his vows. This is not divorce. It is deep estrangement. But it is also a call to repentance, to radically change the way she is living. Not just say sorry and carry on, but a clean break from her way of life. But Uzziah was not just a deserted husband, a victim who was cuckolded, but speaks of a threat of poetic justice, that she would get a taste of her own medicine and go beyond even her own self-cheapening to stark destitution, to taste of both degradation and want. Sexual lust is glamorized and even canonized, as in our world, but there is no romance here. Her lovers were many, but her motive was one, the rewards she can earn. Then, like the prodigal son, she comes to her senses and she thinks about home. Not for love, but in verse 7, I am going back to my first husband. I am better off then than I am now. The love, at least initially, was all on the other side. And indeed, the door of hope, which talks about in verse 15, is often found in the trouble valley, where difficulty, hardship and failure drive us back to reconsider God. Thank you, Jim. So we come to our reading. Go again and show your love for a woman who is committing adultery with a lover. You must love her just as I still love the people of Israel. It was not the case so much that Uzziah still loved his truant wife, and that God's love must be like that too. No, rather, it was the other way round. It was God's love that rekindled Uzziah's love. God gave him the pattern to reproduce in his own life. The little word again is an unpleasant truth. Old wounds would have to be reopened, and that which had happened once might happen again. In fact, worse was that the adultery was still in progress. It was not an isolated lapse, but a settled desertion and betrayal. Love of such heroic proportions is required. God's love for a wayward people refuses to ease the pain of the relationship, either by compromise or quitting. While God continued to love, despite our unfaithfulness, he can't condone. Four times love is spoken of in these verses, in terms of comparing and contrasting. Pure devotion against gross infatuation. God loving to the uttermost, while Israel, as Gomer, gives her heart to cakes and raisins. She's only here for the beer that was often used as an offering to Baal. And this is where this reaching out of God's love goes further than that of the prodigal son in the prodigal wife. Unlike dad, who waits at home for his son to come to his senses, she makes no move to come home. He, Uzziah, her husband, goes looking for her. A bit like Robert De Niro in The Deer Hunter, who goes looking for his friend suffering post-traumatic stress syndrome in the gambling dens and whorehouses of Saigon, where he is being exploited. And when he finds her, he not only has to win her back, he has to buy her back, scraping together the price, partly in cash, partly in kind, not to possess her like the current relationship she is in, but to love her. In loving a woman loved by another man, as the Lord loves the Israelites. That's a big ask. That's a big reach. And there's precious little exercise of power in this story. Indeed, there is hurt, humiliation, and waiting, a personal approach, an appeal, a lasting and mutual commitment, a cost too. The cost of risking rebuke, of reopening wounds, at working at a difficult relationship, and being determined that it should last and grow. And yet this is not simply God wringing his hands. There is anger too and judgment. It's not all pleading. There are a lack of easy remedies, but there is realism in the face of the realities of the situation. So Isaiah writes, I paid 15 pieces of silver and 150 kilograms of barley to buy her. How far she has fallen that she had to be bought. Was she now a slave? Well, quite possibly. But if so, she was bought at half price. The normal value was 30 shekels. Or was it compensation to her current boyfriend or to cover debts? Love is practical first, emotional second. This is not cold charity, but the act of a friend. And there are realities too, that within the marriage there were disloyal habits of years to be broken. So the realities of personal relationship and intimacy are unhurriedly given back to restore integrity and meaning. So he writes, I told her for a long time she would have to wait for me without being a prostitute or committing adultery, and during that time I would wait for her. Here too is the divine lover taking time and using every art to win a response that will make the reconciliation genuine. So we come to us as we consider reaching out with God's heart. Christ's life was sealed with 50 pieces of silver, the price Judas obtained for his betrayal of Jesus. God has paid fully and deeply for our entry into covenant relationship by his death on the cross. Twice in the New Testament is this phrase from Hosea used. Thank you, Jim. The people who are not mine, I will call my people. The nation that I did not love, I will call my beloved. It's found in Romans chapter 9, verse 25, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, where he writes, at one time, you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received his mercy. Our family history is being transformed. Hosea was a prophet with a past. It was the very fact that his home life was such a train wreck, a damaging and distressing experience born out of hurts and betrayal, that gave his message a strange integrity, an authenticity, a poignancy. It gave him compassion and understanding and insight to understand how God saw the situation and to reach out to those around him. And this is reflected in his later writings. Unlike his relationship with Gomer, that might possibly have a happy-ish ending, his life's work failed. Society passed God by and into oblivion. Yet it encourages us that our lives do not have to be perfect. They can be very damaged in order for God to use us in who and what we are to reach other people, to find a way back home to God, our Father. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. The prodigal wife is one step beyond the prodigal son. Why? Thank you, Jim. God did not just wait for prodigals to return, but actually goes looking. Thank you, Jim. So to a crook in a tree, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Hosea too had to learn to love from God's heart love. Are we that willing that we too would be open to God's heart, teaching us to love those lost and sin-sick people he sends our way and also invites us to go looking for. I wonder.